This morning before we go to the Word, and I'd like to read from, we're going to have a dedication of little Solomon Peter Shearer. Right? Yeah, there he is. Doesn't look anything like the other Peter Shearer's mustache. But, the third child and second son of Nathan and Rebecca Shearer. And I'd just like to read a couple scriptures before we dedicate the child. So 1 Samuel 1:24, we read, "And when she had weaned him and took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I asked of him." You know, remember Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not. Ask abundantly, and your joy shall be full. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. And as long as he liveth, he should be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And then in Mark 9:42 we read, "And whosoever," Jesus speaking to the disciples now, "and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it shall be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he will cast into the sea." So we have a delicate thing with children, because if you raise them wrong, you're going to be counted for it. And the fact is that these children, if they are raised up to be sons and daughters of God filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going to be kings and priests one day. So little Solomon will be a king, and he'll be a priest. And it's up to you, Nathan, and Rebecca, to teach him how to act like a child of a king. And to be and to prepare his life for the time of being a king and a priest. We all see in the life of Columba that his parents, after he was weaned, took him to the priest Phineas to be raised to serve the Lord. He was about 2 years old. He's taken to the priest, and as the story goes, it's from the book of the life of Columba. When Phineas was a very busy priest, he would visit the people, and he's coming home one night. He sees what he thought was a fire in the cottage where he was living. So he comes running to the door, or opens the door. He thought that he was running into it, because Columba, he had left him asleep in the bed. And he gets in, and the pillar of fire was over Columba. The life of Columba is very, very, if you ever get a chance to read the book, it's just tremendous about him. That pillar of fire was with him everywhere he went. One night the people in the village saw, they thought there was a whole bunch of people with torches coming up over the hill to attack their village. It was just Columba. The pillar of fire was so bright over him. So we see that the same pillar of fire was with Columba. Brother Brown said he was with Martin all the way through the age. But he came back in a special way in this hour. And he came back for an exodus. So we're looking at scripture here, and we're finding that Jesus said other things. He said in Matthew 10:42, "And whosoever shall give drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So everything you do to these little children, you're not going to lose your reward for it, brother, sister. So, and as Brother Rand said, "Whatever you do for my family," he said, you're doing it for me. In the name of the disciple, remember. Mark 10:13, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those who brought them." That's kind of the way people think, you know. Adults are over here talking, "Go away, kids." You know, we have foot washing communion, "Go away, kids, just put them in the corner someplace." No, I don't know if you've seen the example I tried to lay out for you, but your children, I don't care how young they are, start them. Brother Ram said they shouldn't take from the communion until they receive the holy fire of God. But he didn't say anything about the foot wash. And I believe when they are young, I take my grandson, I wash his feet almost every community service. And I do that because I'm trying to show him how to be humble and how to have the right atmosphere and the right attitude toward it. You know, you can take your children and set them aside, like I've seen in Europe, in England, and it's sad. And I've seen it in Northern Ireland, in different places. And the children don't stay in the message past maybe 16, 18 years old. Because they've been put aside. They've been, you know, you kids are this, and now we adults, you know, and it becomes a club for the adults. And it's, listen, I raised my children up the way that I saw Brother Brown project when he talked about the token. And he said, he painted the picture in my mind so clear that that little boy was standing by his father, and the death angel was going through the town, and he hear cries from the neighbor, cries out from this one, cross street, down the street, and he was so fearful, he said, Daddy, are you sure you applied the token? And his dad just held his hand and said, yes, son, I've applied the token. If you don't talk the word with your children, who are you going to learn it from? Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. It's your responsibility to see to it they get to the other side. You say, well, no, I disagree. That's predestination. Listen, all and their family with them. There's a promise. All and their offspring with them. Train them up. Train them up. Train them up. Don't ever abandon your children. I don't care if they go wayward. Train them up, because if you train them, if they go wayward, they'll come back. That's a promise from God. You just keep applying the token, no matter what the circumstances, you don't look at the circumstances, you look at what God said. And you train them. That's your job. As kings and priests, you are. What does a priest do? He trains. What does a king do? He gives commands. He gives dictates. All right? He rules. But if he's a benevolent king, he rules in love. If you're the right kind of a priest, you'll train up. You'll teach up in love. One more scripture, Mark 10:13. We'll continue. But when Jesus saw it, remember, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. That's all they wanted. Just touch my child. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little ones to come unto me, and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. And he took them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. I would say, you get a chance, each and every one of you, because we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. These little children, when they come up to you, and you give them a hug, bless them. You know, we often don't express that enough. But even when I pray for others, I say, and I ask the Lord to bless them, I say, and bless me, God. Bless my family. Bless the church. Bless your people, your children. Those words are stronger than you think. Very much stronger than you think. Brother Nathan, if you would, and Rebecca, if you could bring the child up at this time. Verse 16, and he took them up in his arms, and he put hands on them, and he blessed them.
This is the part I got.
Lord Jesus, we just lay hands upon this little child, knowing that it's up to mom and dad to raise him up in the admonition of you, to teach him to be a king and a priest. So little Solomon, fear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you. And Father, we ask that you would make his life a blessing to others. May your eternal life live in him. And we know that eternal life is living for others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet and sing Only Believe.
Only believe. Only believe.
Gracious Father, we sing that song, All Things Are Possible Because You're Here. And knowing, oh God, that Your great parousia, Your presence is the most precious thing that we know. As Brother Vale said to me, it's even a greater revelation than to know the ins and outs of the Godhead. Because, Lord, to know that You're here not only tells us of Your love and Your, as Brother Brown said, You're coming down to coo us, to coo and to hover over us, protect us, open our eyes, unveiling Yourself, oh God, the many things that You're doing here. But Father, You come to give us comfort. You say, comfort one another with these words. And so we know the great God of comfort, that Your presence is here. Be with us, Father, this morning as we would continue in our study of the unveiling of God. Help us, O God, to understand Your dynamics and how Your dynamics upon the mechanics of Your Word brings things to pass, O God, things that we as humans could not do, but brings to pass, brings into this realm of these three dimensions that we live in, the realm of Your seventh dimension, O God, showing Your presence is with us. In Jesus' precious name we ask You. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to, I have been planning on speaking on the character of Christ, part 4, but I noticed that I never did give you the frequency of God, part 9, which I had prepared already, which speaks of the works of God. So Wednesday night, we're going to wrap up our mini-series called The Character of Christ, Part 4. And this morning, I'm going to speak to you on the frequency of God's Word, Part 9, The Works of Christ, which I should have spoken on back August 12th, before we had all the ministers coming in. Now, just to refresh our minds, we've been studying the unveiling of God that Brother Brown preached June 4th, or 14th of 64. And in that sermon, he said, from the unveiling of God, paragraph 69, he says, Moses had the word. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again. See, but while the word was given to him to give up, he was God. As Brother Brown said from the, looking to the unseen. Brother Brown was actually praying for people, and all of a sudden he steps into a higher pitch, and the words come out and says, William Browning has nothing to do with this. He's just given his body. He's loaded to me. He's given his body for me to use. I am the Lord. And then he's calling people to come down. Now, Brother Brown also from Anointed Ones of the End Time, I believe it was, he said, look, I'm not the one that came down. I was only standing there when he appeared. It's not what I know, but it's what I surrender myself to. He said, I'm just a voice that he uses. And so, you know, when people want to say, well, okay, the voice of God is William Branham, I can say yes to that, and I can say no to that. And Brother Branham said, I want a hamburger. Was that the voice of God? Or was that the dual being? You see, when Brother Branham was preaching the Word of God, that was God's Word to us. There's no doubt. But as Brother Branham said, my words, they can fail. But God's words can't fail. He said, God's Word cannot fail. So you have to understand, we're not looking at a fallible ministry or a fallible man. We're looking at an infallible God. And when people try to make the infallible God into a fallible man or a fallible man into the infallible man, no, I'm sorry, brother, sister, but it's not about Brother Branham. This message is not about him. Right. It's about God. God came down. That should be the most sacred thing, the most holy thing, the most reverential thing that you have in your life, is to know that God, your Father, came down for you to get you ready to come out with Him, to come back with Him. Now, notice it says, after the Word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again, but while the Word was in him to be given out, he was God. Now, we must be very careful in listening to how he said that, because later on we're going to hear him say it's not the natural part. It's the spiritual part that he's referring to. And we must never look at the natural part, only the spiritual part. As Brother Vail has always warned us to get our eyes off the vessel and on the God who's using the vessel. But that's the problem I think most people are having today when they say that there's just one voice, and it was the one man, William Branham's voice. Now, I don't doubt that God uses voice. He said so. But the words were not his. The words were God's. And I've seen a 4-year-old child pray for a 3-year-old child, and the child got healed because the child gave back God's word. It wasn't the child, their words that healed. It was God who healed using the instrument of a 4-year-old child. And they're even saying that God is echoing William Branham's voice up in heaven. And I hate to pop your bubble, but Brother Branham, brother and sister, it's just the opposite of what they're teaching. William Branham could not say anything but what God had told him to say first. So who's echoing who? You see, when you start to say, well, God is echoing William Branham up in heaven, and he's playing Brother Branham's tapes in heaven, what you're saying is God is the servant and William Branham is the God. And I'm sorry, but that deity spirit has been around for a long time. I had a good friend who went down to a certain man's house that used to make the tapes out of his house. And he had a picture of that picture on his belt buckle, and he had the picture of Hoffman's Head of Christ, the one in the back, on the wall. And he pointed the picture of the belt buckle of William Branham and said, "That's my Lord." And they pointed the picture up there and said, "And that's his servant." Something wrong with that picture? That's blasphemy. Brother Branham himself said, "I'm no more than just a voice. I want to be a trapper, but against my judgment, I'm here. Because it's not what I wanted to do, it's what he chose me to do." So we need to be very careful, brother, sister, because God gave the children of Israel something for healing, the brazen serpent. And the people made that brazen serpent into an idol. They made Moses into an idol, and when God himself came down and stepped into his son, and it wasn't until his son began to speak the word, and it wasn't until his son, actually God, entered into him in fullness, that they began to crucify him and want to stone him and everything else. And then we got Moses. We don't need you. They're saying to God, "We don't need you." They're saying to the Perusia, "We don't need his presence. We've got the man." Strong. Be careful. Be very, very careful, or you find yourself blaspheming the Holy Ghost and you don't even know it. Now, William Branham, as a true son of God, echoed what God said, not God echoing what he said. Now remember, he taught us that just like the Son of God, he could not say his own thoughts, but he could say only what God said first. And that was the way with Jesus, and he is our example. From John 5:19, the Son can of himself do nothing. From John 5:30, the Son can of himself do nothing. From John 8:29, he said, "I do always those things that please him," my Father. John 10:18, "This commandment received I of my Father." John 12:49, "My Father gave me commandment what to say and what to do." John 12:50, "As my Father said to me, so I speak." John 7:16, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Now, we're going to look at that doctrine just for a minute. This is a little sidetrack from what we're getting to, but I just want to make sure that we understand. So to get things straight, the doctrine comes from God, not man. The doctrine of Father and Son is not Lee Vail's doctrine. It is not Brother Branham's doctrine. It was God's doctrine. And Jesus happened to be the first one to teach it, for which he was crucified. Don't think that they won't kill you or your influence, just like they tried to kill him and his influence, for declaring God's doctrine of Father and Son. Who said it first? God said it first. In Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Who said it? God said it. What did he say? This is my Son, and I'm pleased to dwell in him. Establishing that relationship between Father and Son. Then we see John the Baptist, who was to forerun the Lamb of God. He taught it, John 1:32, and John bare record, now bearing record of his teaching, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, who's that? The Holy Ghost. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. What did they do to John? They cut his head off. Then many others bear record of God's doctrine of Father and Son. In John 1:49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. We see the man who was blind from birth confessed his doctrine of being Father and Son. They kicked him out of the church. John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he found and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, Well, who is the Son of God that I might believe? And he said, I am he. And then the Bible says he believed. Then he went to the elders and told them, and they excommunicated him. Then we see Jesus speaking it and being vilified by the Pharisees for speaking God's doctrine. John 10:36, say of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. He was only saying what God had already said. Witnesses were there, they heard it. So in essence, he was called a blasphemer for speaking what the Lord had thus said. In other words, he was speaking, thus saith the Lord, and he was called a blasphemer for it. Don't think that they don't do that to us. They say we preach two gods, everything else. Those are two gods. Two gods. You know what that is? That's polytheism. Heathenism. They call us heathens. Then we see that Martha echoed the same doctrine of Father and Son which God had spoken at Jesus' baptism. John 11:27, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And then we see it is this doctrine that the religious leaders hate so much, as we see in John 19:7, and Jews answering him said, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. I remember the voice spoke out of heaven and said the doctrine first. He didn't make himself. God declared him to be his son. It was God that made him a son, because what man can birth himself? I'll get you back to what William Branham was saying. Moses had the word. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again. And don't ever forget that. Doesn't mean you disrespect the man. Doesn't mean you say things contrary to the man. Love him, he's your brother. But he's not your God. See? But while the word was in him to give out, he was God. For he wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing could touch him till that was over. Had that word with him. So therefore, when he come, the people turned their heads. They couldn't understand. He'd been changed. He was a different fellow. He come with the word, and he put a veil, the Bible said, over his face, for he had the word, and he was the word to them. Now, Brother Bram's not telling us here that the man Moses was God, but the God who is in the word used his vessel. Or the God who is the word used his vessel. Now, keep that in mind. Keep that clear in your mind, because otherwise, you're going to have multiple gods. Moses is God now, and God is God now, and Brother Brown is God now, and maybe one of his sons will become, oh, Joseph now is God. And, you know, just the whole thing goes. It's just a rotation of, like the Hindus, you know, the karma and all that other junk that goes on. All right. Remember, God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Now look at Moses, oh brother. Here's going to be an insult. But if Moses, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, if Moses had to veil his face with that type of glory upon him, see, because that was a natural glory, that was a natural law, and if Moses, knowing that the law had to perish, but the glory was so great that it blinded the people, so they had to put a veil over his face, how much more will it be spiritual blinded people, That glory was to fade away, but this glory won't fade away. See, Moses had the carnal law, the condemnation, no grace, no nothing. It just condemned you. But this that we're speaking about, that had no pardon. That just told you what you was, but this gives you a way out. And when that word is unveiled, oh my, what kind of a face will it be? It'll have to be veiled. It's got to be veiled. Now notice, so the Spirit is veiled in a human temple. See, he to speak the natural words with a natural veil. Most spoke natural words, natural veil. But this one speaks a spiritual word with a spiritual veil. We didn't see the pillar of fire above it until the picture was taken. But he said, hey, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. He didn't do anything. Didn't say anything. Didn't pronounce anything until God showed him in vision. Now remember, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's John 4:24. And it was Jesus that said that because he was talking to a Gentile woman, and he told her that the Gentiles didn't know who they were worshiping. John 4:22. You worship what you know not. How many people in this message are worshiping what they know not? They think they know. I'm not up here to rag on message people, but what are we going to do, talk about the Catholic Church? They're not even in the ballpark. Lutherans, not even in the ballpark. Baptists, no. Pentecostals, no. It's right in this message that the Spirit should be so close that you see the very light. You worship, you know not what. Talk Godhead to people in this message to see if they really understand. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. That's the Bible. That's the word. Spirit and truth. Not focusing on a vessel. Spirit. Pillar of fire. Coming down. Leading us to the millennium. And truth. Notice the hour, he says, is coming when the true believer will be able to distinguish between the vessel and the God who uses the vessel. And then Jesus says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, not vessels, in spirit and in truth. They must be able to rightly divide the vessel from God himself. So Jesus is saying here, the time is coming when the true worshiper will be able to distinguish between God, who is the Spirit, and the vessel that he uses, which is natural. In other words, he is saying, get your eyes off the vessel, get your eyes on the get your eyes and your heart on the God who uses the vessel. Now, here's the thing that I'm trying to tell you. As long as you are a respecter of persons, you will never enter into that word that God has come down to give us. As long as you have your eyes upon any vessel, you are missing God. As long as you are missing the parousia presence of God, who is invisible spirit, but he's spirit and truth, which is a word for the hour, you're missing God. Brother Bram said in a sermon, Paradox, and now friends, I believe that he is the same yesterday, today, forever, and I believe that he's just able this afternoon to because in this building, a paradox, because that he promised it would happen. How much more has he promised? How much more is it leaving in the Bible to this very age that we're living in, the Ephesians again of the church ages? We've got seven church ages, and we're promised that at the Laodicean church age, there would be another Ephesians. That's right. And we're here, I believe with all my heart, that Jesus Christ, who made the promise, as I said in my last message, standing over there against that wall, when I was here a few weeks ago, every time you move your finger, that goes around the world, and it never will stop. Now, he was going to say, you say, well, how do you know? Because he said in other places. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, who made the promise, is here to confirm it. As he said in several other places. But then he talks about every time you move your finger, that motion, that thing goes around the world. And then that kind of brought us to the place where we begin to look at the dynamics upon the mechanics. In other words, you have a dynamic. If you don't have a dynamics, you're dead. If the Word of God doesn't have a dynamics, it's dead. And to many people, it resides in here, but it's not in here. Because once it comes in here, the heart makes it move into the body. Now listen carefully. Brother Brown is about to tell us a principle that if you can catch what he's saying, it will revolutionize your walk of faith. He says, every move that you make, you'll see at the judgment.
Think about that next time you plan to do something wrong.
Television proves that it's here, the fourth dimension, because the television doesn't manufacture that picture. It only channels a wave into a tube, and you see a picture, color everything. Every moving object that's happening in the world is going right around through here right now, making a record. Someday your record's going to be closed, and you're going to answer to that record. That's right. God, let me be so planted, let me be so dead to myself and anything around me, and be conscious of the Word of God living amongst us today. Let's pray. You know, it's interesting that the white throne is now, Brother Brown said that in the paradox. We're standing before the white throne now. What's interesting is that we're getting ready in this country to see over 50,000 sealed indictments against the last administration and all the deep state. They're going to have their white throne here, but it's not the end of it, because there may be some that might somehow wiggle out of their judgment. But judgment is coming upon this world. Every single person will stand before the white throne. And everything that you ever did, said, and done, it will be recorded. It's been recorded. And you can use bleach bit to erase your computers, and you can use hammers to break your cell phones, but there's only one thing that will eradicate your sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You make sure that you've got that blood applied. And the only way you can have that blood applied is that the life that was in the blood is in you. That's it. The token. From the paradox again, he says, Lord Jesus, thou art a paradox. When God was made flesh, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will manifest yourself this afternoon, proving to us here, not only proving to us, there's, I suppose, 90% or more of the people set here before that, every word, I believe that every word, but that he might see you again and let know that this word that you spoke, that's still traveling around and around and around the world, just like a record, just let us move into that record today. Move into that record. If you don't see the Word of God as a present tense, you haven't moved into that record. If you don't see the Word of God actually living itself out in you, you haven't moved into that record. Lord, let us move in and not hear it just like it was coming secondly from a man's mouth. But let that mouth and person and people all sitting here become your Word. When you hear the voice of God on those tapes, are you hearing it with the ear, or are you hearing it from the inner man? Become your word. We're ready to die, Lord, of our own ideas, just to see you keep your promise. The things that I do shall you do also. That's John 14:12. I pray that you'll grant this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is he talking about that we can see it in his meeting or in you? He said, you become the Word. And we're looking for that promise, for you to keep your promise. The things that I do show you do also. Now, this is where I want to go this morning. As Brother Brown said in Go Tell, he said, it's going to be the attitude of the people towards the message. See how she said it? She said just the right thing. It's what you say. That's what does it. It's what you say. Talking about Hattie Wright. She said, that's the truth. Now, look at how important your attitude is this morning. But I also wanted to tie this into something else that Brother Brown said from Who's This Melchizedek, where he said, you see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey. Many of you can remember it. You joined this church and joined that church and tried this and tried that and nothing satisfied, but that's right. But one day you just recognize it. One day you realize God's living in me. And the day that you recognize God's living in me, then you realize, hey, I'm his vessel. I'm not going to say those words anymore. I'm not going to look at those things anymore. I'm giving him my all. I mean, he chose me to live in me, that his life might be expressed in me. How can I be thinking other things and doing other things? That's when you die. When you die to yourself.
Again, from a sermon, Doing God a Service, that Brother Branham said, and one day you'll see that one that you feel in your heart. Okay, he's invisible. How do you see him? And see his identification will become personalized before you. Then you and he are one. How is it that I see him? How is it he said, if you love me, I'll come and manifest myself to you? How is it? Because he's manifesting himself through you. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. You've united by the word of the beginning will go back to the beginning, which is God. Now, it would seem like Brother Branham is talking about a feeling that you have here, and we know that feelings can be deceptive, and so we must base everything, every feeling, on the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only lasting thing. But what I'd like for you to see this morning is that you can have the doctrine correct, and that just means you can read. You can have the doctrine and no feelings, you're dead. I'm sorry, you're dead. It's more than just doctrine, because Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. And so if you have just a mental conception without the life of the word, then you really do not have anything. You're no better than a Baptist. I know a denomination who believes in Father and Son, just like the teaching, just like Brother Vail taught, like Brother Branham taught. Church of God out of Atlanta. They teach it in their Bible school. I've exchanged emails with them. I've actually given them more scriptures than what they had on their website. They thank me for it. And they've got pastors all over the country teaching Father and Son. And yet they got the mark of the beast because of their denomination. The Bible said that Cain offered unto God. The Bible says in James, the devil believes. He's a believer. Just because you say you believe doesn't mean nothing. Does the life show that you believe? In fact, Brother Brent said from preparation, he said, I told you the other night that Cain was a believer. And I'll give you a little stronger meat than that tonight if you want to believe it. The devil is a believer. The Bible says so. He believes and trembles. The devil is a believer. And now if belief and faith in God is all that you have to be saved, then the devil saved according to the word of God. That's right. But brother, it's got to take the Holy Spirit, a new birth, a regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God comes down and puts his spirit into you, then you're no more your own. But you're God's. And remember, he said, if you be any otherwise minded, he'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal it to you. So the question is he talking to you? I know you might talk to him, but is he talking to you? When you're going to do something you shouldn't be doing, is he telling you, don't do that, son? And if you are God's, then you're no more your own. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so from his sermons, the spoken words original seed, Brother Brown said, all right. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of its kind. Genesis 1:11. These last days, true church bride comes to the headstone. Will be a super church, a super race. Now, not in numbers. Remember, Ephesians was a super church. How many were in Ephesians? 12. It will be a super church. Does it look like it? A super race as they near the great headstone. They will be so much like him, being conformed to the image. Even they will be in his very image. Does that sound like the message in general today? In order to be united with him, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Well, if you're looking at the masses, the 2 million people, I don't see it, but if you're looking at individuals, I'm seeing glimmers here, glimmers there. It's coming. From a servant, God's only provided a place of worship, Brother Brown says. Now notice Enoch, God's perfect reflector in type. When God was through with him, he just translated him, took him up. The mechanics that he had reflected become dynamics with the Spirit and took him up. What does that suggest to you? You've got the mechanics, brother, sister. Start living it. Start talking it. Start breathing it. And one day, when that Spirit quickens that, you won't have a trouble living it, breathing it, talking it, manifesting it. Now, the mechanics that he had reflected become dynamics with the Spirit and took him up. Same as in the days of Elijah even to his bones, were that reflector of God in his body being made manifest, the Word of God. From a sermon, God's only provided a place of worship, Brother Bram said. It's the Word reflecting and sparking off the age that you're living in. What does it? The Word reflecting. Sparks off the age. That's what he was. That's what Moses was. That's what Jacob was. That's what the rest of them was. Sparking off that Word of God, the reflector that God was reflecting himself. And come to that perfect image of God. Jesus Christ, God's masterpiece, was struck that he might take the rest of them for a bride that's been reflecting him. You got to reflect him before you could have been reflecting him. Moses was in him. Joshua was in him. And if you, he's not talking about himself here, if you are in him, using him before the foundation of the world, the family. There you go. The family of God. You suffered with him, you died with him, you went to the cross with him, you raised with him, and now you're still with him, sitting in heavenly places, reflecting the message of the age to the world, the light of the world. You are the light of the world. But if it's hid by the denominational bushel basket, how are they going to see it? For your traditions, you make the light of no effect. By trying, your denominationals trying to keep the light away from your church, you won't go in, neither will you let them. Amen. You say, well, I've got the doctrine. I know there's Father and Son. All right. That's fine. I'm glad that you got that far. But what about Father and Sons? I know God had a prophet, and God did mighty wonderful things through the prophet. And I say, but what about you? And you say, oh, that's Dathan and Korah talk. No, that's not. Dathan and Korah came against the vindicated prophet. Against the prophet. The bride of Christ is supposed to be the same thing. She's supposed to reflect the same life. And so if you reflect the same life, that's not coming against the prophet. That's actually getting you to the place that he lived for. His whole ministry was to get you, to present you to Christ. And get you to come to the same. Look, the wave sheaf offering, the first one and the rest of them are all the same. When the greenness is baked out, it's taken up. We've got to get the greenness baked out. Reflecting the message of the age to the world, the light of the world. You are the light of the world, but if it's hid by a denominational bushel basket or any doctrinal bushel basket. Well, I know Father and Son. I know Brother Bale. You know, he was a teacher. You know, he was indicated. You know, and Brother Brown was vindicated. That's wonderful. Those are mechanics. That's just simply mechanics. Well, I know that there's one God. He had a Son. That's mechanics, brother, sister. That's not dynamics. See, the dynamics is when you understand that there was Father and Sons. And the same life that was in the Father went into the Son is in me. And the same life is expressing itself through me. That's dynamics. And until the church has that, she's not ready for harvest. The Queen of Sheba. How about up there where Paul and Silas was doing the works of God? Paul and Silas were doing the works of God. I thought only Brother Brown did the works of God. Yeah, Paul and Silas, Peter and John, Martin, Columba, St. Patrick, even Joan of Arc. How about up there where Paul and Silas was doing the works of God and that little fortune teller run out and said, why, the preachers all said that these are awful men and they turned the world upside down. That was the religious men. But this little old fortune teller said, they're men of God who tell us the way of life. Who was right, the preachers or the devils? That's pretty flat, but that's the truth. Who is right when they holler, away with such a man, away with such a man. He's nothing but a Beelzebub. And the devil himself said, we know that you are who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Why do you come to torment us before our time comes? See, the devil sees a believer. Who knows the most, Caiaphas or Satan? Satan. See, they just get so word-bound, so church-bound, till they can't accept the spiritual part of it. It goes over their head. They can't accept the spiritual part of it. Who came down to the South? William Branham? No, he said, I was going to stand there when he appeared. It's not about me, he said. People say, well, Brother Branham, we read it last time I preached. He said, you know, Brother Branham, is it, you know, we hear people say that we're only supposed to listen to you. He said, whoever gave you that idea? He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. They said, well, you know, you lay hands and you ordain ministers, and we were just wondering because, you know, why would you ordain a minister to preach if they're not supposed to preach? And God set in the church 5 gifts. You can use a thumb, a finger, an index, and they can all push to take the cord. Is that what he did? No. Apostles. What's an apostle? He said he's a setter in order. A teacher, he said he can take the word to a depth that a pastor or evangelist could never do. An evangelist, he's a firebrand. Comes in a place, just tears it up. A pastor, he kind of settles on with the evangelist, Torah. You see, God sets in the church different, and he makes each one different to fulfill a different role for the family. It's all for the family. It's not for them. That's why Brother Brown couldn't use his own gift for himself. You know, people try to say, well, you know, look, I know there's testimonies out there, and you know, people mean well. But when people try to say Brother Brown's gift was healing, it wasn't healing. He couldn't heal. He said so himself. Many, many times said, I'm not a healer. You know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. His gift was the sign of Messiah. That was his gift. Healing, he said, that's for anybody. He said, any one of you ministers or any one of you ladies, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can lay hands on the sick, they'll be healed. You just have to believe it. So, you know, the question is asked, well, if it can't be, if the gift wasn't for him, no, the fivefold ministry, look at it. God sent the church 5 gifts, not for the gift, not for the man who has a gift. It's for the edifying of the church, for the building up of the church. Those gifts are not for ourselves. Those gifts are for you. Now, it just so happens, as Brother Bell told me years ago, when we had a church filled with unbelievers, we were down in Kentucky, and just look at their lives today, and they're not living for the Lord. Brother Elson O'Brien said, you know, Moses ate the same food the people did. So in one sense of the way, at least I was feeding off the same cable everybody else was feeding off. But the gift is for you. You see? It's not for the individual minister. Now, so we're still talking about the frequency of God here. So don't let your mind drift. He spoke of feelings, right? You say, well, we don't go by feelings, but Vindicated Prophet said in a sermon, doing God a service without his will, but one day you'll see that one that you feel in your heart. I'm telling you, if you've never felt the presence of God in your heart, I would get to my knees until I did. I wouldn't get up. One day you'll actually see the one that you feel in your heart and see his identification. It will become personalized before you, then you and he are one. When you begin to see that one that you felt in your heart, that you identified with, and you begin to see it in you, that's the frequency of God that you're feeling. Try touching an electric cord. Try standing between 2 electric cords, giving an arc. You may not see the arc. You may not see the electricity flow through the cord, but it's there. How do you know it's there? I can feel it. How do you know the Holy Spirit's working in me? I can feel it. So don't throw feelings away, brother, sister. Just because some people want to just become robots. Don't throw it away.
when God's dealing with you in your heart, to say, Lord, what would you have your servant to know? What would you have this son, your son, to know, Father? And then you start communing with him. Many times we go to pray, God bless this one, God bless that one, blah, blah, blah. And it's all about, and we do, and then we get done saying, all right, well, we want to say, and we get up and we walk out. How about waiting to hear from him? What does he have to tell me now? But see, if we just come with him with request, 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 you might not hear anything. Why don't you come say, Lord, good morning. What would you have me to know today? What would you have me to do for your children today? Is there anything, Father, that I might be lacking? Anything that might be displeasing to you? Please let me know. I'll make the correction on the spot. Try entering your conversation with him as a real person, not as some inanimate object. They can go and lay up your requests. But why don't you lay up yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him? One day you'll see that the one that you feel in your heart, I'd like to see your hands. How many have felt him in your heart? Good. I'm glad. How many would like to have that feeling more often? Amen. One day you'll see that one that you feel in your heart and see his identification. Now, what does identification mean? The word identification. It means to become the same as. You will see his identification because you become the same as. Will become personalized before you, then you and he are one. I do because he tells me to. I say because he tells me what to say. I think what he thinks. That's the frequency of God that you're feeling. That's the dynamics. You get shocked when you come in line with an electric current, right? You can feel it, but you can't see it. And that's the difference from just being able to read and thus quote the doctrine. And that is totally different from the one that you'll see that. And one day you'll see that one that you have filled in your heart and see his identification will become personalized before you. Then you and he are one. Different. His identification before you, and then you and he will unite to become one, united by the word. From Jesus Christ the same, he said, now notice, why he did it. Notice why he did it. Now listen. Why did he do it? Listen at him when he addresses him. Rabbi. See, teacher, see, Rabbi, we know, we who? The Pharisees, the religious world. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? Because you got a degree? No. Because you speak so eloquent? No. Because you are an educated man? No. Because you belong to a certain denomination? No. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? Because no man can do the things that you do except God was with him. There you are. No man could teach the things that you do. Oh, haven't we heard that before? Huh? Right? I mean, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but that's exactly what you hear. No man could teach the theology you do. Nope. No man could do these things or teach the Bible like you do. But no man could do the works that you do. There's one thing to teach something. There's another thing for God to confirm it and say it's the truth. Even Jesus himself, when he went to his hometown, could do no mighty miracles because of the unbelief. What did he do? He resorted to teaching. When you're in the midst of a bunch of unbelievers, all you can do is teach. That's all you can do. But when you're in the midst of people who can see God in their midst, you watch the mighty miracles take place. That's an admonition to all of you. All of us in the Western world, because in Africa, I've gone places, even South America, and you see the mighty works of God. But in America, theology, doctrine.
No man could do the works that you do. There's one thing to teach something. There's another thing for God to confirm it and say it's the truth. There's one thing to say something. It's another thing to do something. It's not hearers, it's doers. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith, Paul said, by my works. If you believe it, you'll act upon it.
Wow, we should probably write that one down in our Bibles. Maybe even write that on the back of your hand. If you believe it, act upon it. If you believe it, you will act upon it. That's it.
And then your faith becomes works, and God can go with you then. What if Noah would have said, yeah, there's coming a storm. Yep, there's coming a storm like we've never seen a storm. Yep, the world's going to be flooded. Yep, that's right. Good theology, Noah. And the rains come. See, I told you it's coming. Good theology, Noah. But did you prepare your house for the saving of your house? Did you prepare? Did you build the ark? Oh, I forgot about it. It's too busy. If you believe it, you act upon it. We know you're a teacher come from God. We the Pharisees. Listen, that's it. Then your faith becomes works. And God can go with you then. We know that you're a teacher come from God. We Pharisees, well, why don't you come and join with me then? Why don't you believe me? Well, of course, we have regulations, and our regulation is a tradition of the elders which says that you don't belong to Sanhedrin or the denomination here at Jerusalem. Why, we'll all be excommunicated, and therefore we can't accept it. And yet, was willing to admit that no man could do the things that he did except God be with him. Why? God is proving his gospel. God always did. Question is God proving you to be one of his sons? Is God proving you to be a Christian, Christ-like? See, there's your frequency of God, vindication. You know, we put vindication in a prophet. What about God vindicating your life? The word vindicate means prove. God in action. God interpreting his word by bringing it to pass. The frequency of God and his dynamics upon his word. The dynamics of God that electrifies and puts energy into God's word to make it manifest. From prophets like a prophet like under Moses, Brother Branson. Now, the reason that I believe in this church, the church of the Holy Spirit, is because Jesus ought to know how to set up a church. And Jesus said the works that he did, the church that believed in him, would do the same works. The church! Not just a minister in that church. The church.
When Martin had so taught the people in France so well, Brother Brown said, when their pastors died, the people went and they laid hands on that pastor and they raised him back from the dead. The people did it. He was dead. He couldn't do it. What about you people?
Jesus said the works that he did, the church that believed in him would do the same. That's when a church has the dynamics. Paul said, if there come one among you, come among you and you all speak with tongues and no interpretation, says that the unbeliever will say that you're mad. But if one speaks prophesying and reveals the secrets of the heart, then they'll all fall down and say God is with you. The order of Christ's church, not religious ceremonies, but the living presence of the resurrected Christ. That's the church of the living God. God living in his church, living his life and doing through his church, speaking himself out through his servants, plural, as he did when he was here on earth. He can just let we can just let our hearts be so wrapped up in him and our spirit so under control that he can move in and take away our thinking. That's our biggest problem. As Brother Branham said, we need our brains baptized. And just do our thinking, confirming his word. Then we'll go away and say, truly God is with us. For I stand at the door and knock, he said, and if the spirit of a devil is in you, you'll do the works of the devil. If you're an outlaw, if John Dillinger's spirit was in you, you'd pack guns and kill people. If the spirit of anything was in you, it'll make you act like the person. If the spirit of Christ is in you, it'll act like Christ. It'll do the works of Christ. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he also. There you are. That's an amen. Good. All right. So you've got at least one here. All right. Abraham's covenant confirmed. Has not the Bible declared it? Has not God worked with the seed of Abraham the same as he did with Abraham? Isn't the same angel that met Abraham just at the age of Sodom before it was destroyed? Isn't that the same works here he's doing tonight? Is it the same? Is it? Do you believe it? Are you Abraham's seed? God says these signs shall follow them that believe. They lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. How many out there is sick? Raise up your hand. How many setting by them, that's a believer? Put your hands over on one another, that's all. Just lay your hands on. That's all he has to do. You say, well, Brother Graham, I want to be baptized. I'll just baptize you, that's all. Then you're baptized, is that right? Then you're Christian, okay. Then you'll say, well, Brother Branham, repent and be baptized. Well, that's what the Bible says. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Is that right? Well, then, if you believe and are baptized, the Bible said that you're saved. Is that right? What's the order of baptism? Just put them under the water, bring them back up, baptize. What is the order for them for the sick? The signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If Brother Ram lays his hands, he never said Brother Ram. He said, whosoever. The signs shall follow them that believe. You are a believer, same as I am. You have the same rights to lay your hands on anybody as I do. Each one of you are ministers, these pastors, anybody else, they have the right to do it. You believe that. Then I want you to lay hands on one another. Bow your head. Don't pray for yourself now. You pray for the one next that you got your hands on, because they're praying for you. You believe that with all your heart. I commit you to Jesus Christ as I pray for these clothes here and handkerchiefs. Anybody in here have an illness? All right, the person next to you. Are you a believer?
Yes.
Lay your hands on. You have an illness? Is it done? Lay your hands on. Lay your hands on your wife. Now, you can see we have to pray. The laying on of hands. They did a study back in the 60s. They took a man who was a believer, laid hands on a person, and they put a foil between the man and the person. And then they had that wire to... And the electrical charge that came from the man's hand was phenomenal. I've seen pictures, Kirlian, K-I-R-L-I-A-N, photography, of people laying hands on the sick. And the power, the light that emanates from the hand is phenomenal. Just wonderful. Does that have anything to do with you as the flesh? No. It's a spiritual thing. Remember, you're two-thirds spirit being. But you got to use your hand as the instrument, because that's what he said, lay hands on the sick, they shall be. I said this for years. Your sisters that are nurses, you don't even have to pray. Don't have to make a scene. Just go in, lay hands on the patient. Sick babies, just hold them in your arm. Father, I'm doing this in Jesus' name. And watch the results. I'm sure you've seen many. It's the church of the living God this morning lays the power in the church of the, in the church of the living God this morning. Lays the power to heal all sickness. See, people have arthritis, everything else. Why? When you're in church, with the believers, that shouldn't be. Every time you shake hands with a person, you should be inwardly praying, God, I'm laying hands on this brother. I'm laying hands on this sister. I pray, Father, all the power to heal. It's in the church. In the church, the living God lays power to overcome all temptation. In the possession of the church of the living God this morning lays the power to change sin and to throw it away and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the church of Jesus Christ. Why do you think in the Bible they receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands? That's right. Brother Brown taught that. Jesus taught that. Brother Dunn even taught that. Just go back and look it up. We've done it here. Had about 8 people come forward one time to receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hand. Whatsoever you desire, ask in my name, and it shall be given to you. And a little while in the world, the not the unregenerate seed will see me no more. Yet you'll see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. What? The royal seed. The works that I do shall you do also. I'll verify myself that I'm with you. I'll verify, I'll vindicate, I'll verify, I'll vindicate. I'll verify myself that I'm with you, for these signs shall follow them that believe. He shall possess the seed of the enemy. He shall possess. His seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. No matter what the gate is, if it's sickness, temptation, sin, whatever gate it is, it's conquered. And the seed of Abraham possess it. Hallelujah. Brother Ram said that if you have that much, the size of the button, of the Holy Ghost in you, you have enough power to create worlds and to go live on them. We have a lot of power sitting in here this morning. A lot of power. Why don't we use it? From spiritual food in due season. That's why today, that they do not believe in doing the works of God, because they do not accept the message of God. They don't believe the message. But those who believe God's hour that we're living in, these things are hidden food. So why don't they believe in John 14:12? They don't believe the message. Why don't they believe in the works of God? They don't believe the message. From Sir, we would see Jesus. If we do not the works of God, then it isn't God. And everywhere God is, supernatural takes place, because He is supernatural. He's a spirit. God is spirit. I preached a message years ago called the Supernatural God Amongst a Natural People. From explaining the ministry, he says, that wouldn't be an evidence, but when you can say that the Spirit of God is in us, then the works of God will be manifested through your life. I'm talking about William Branham, I'm talking about your life. From Be Not Afraid. Now, to do that, Jesus said the same thing. If it does the works of God, then it is of God. Because no man can do the works of God unless God's with him or in him. You see, you can talk presence all you want, but unless his presence is in you, it won't do you any good. His presence is in the earth today, and about 6.9999 billion people haven't got a clue and are not receiving the blessings of that presence. But the elect royal seed of God are. From Be Not Afraid, he said, now, you do that. Jesus said the same thing. If it does the works of God, then it's of God. No man, because no man can do the works of God unless God's with him or in him. From you must be born again, he said, you follow that true word and you get a true experience with God, with experience of the word. Because the word is made flesh in William Branham. Is that what it said? In you. And you become God's son. And the word of God is revolving right out of God into you. Because you are his nature. His spirit is in you and you'll do the works of God. Hallelujah, the Bible said so. Oh my. Promise, too many people read the Bible like a book. It's like, well, this is just a history. Well, it is. Actually, it is. It's his story. It's not history as in the past. He said, I am that I am. He's the same yesterday, today. It's his story. And you know what? It's your story. If he's in you. Because if he's not in you, you're none of his. From it is I be not afraid. He said, if the spirit of a gangster was in you, we'd do the works of a gangster. If the spirit of a singer was in you, we'd sing. If the spirit of Christ was in us, we'll do the works of Christ. Adoption, placing your son, said the church has got to be so perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together in the same spirit. And as the spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. It makes you. It is God working in you, both to will and to do. It makes you live the life of Christ. It makes you act the life of Christ. It makes you do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said that. And what if you got a church that don't believe that the works of God is for anybody in that church, only for one man to an age? God's not in that church. Think about it. That's right. God's gifts always find their place, brothers, and now notice. Now, we find that if he identified, the works that he did identified that he was deity. Show that he was. For he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. And could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not. So if they We don't believe that the works of Christ, you know, what? We don't need to do the works of Christ, Brother Brown didn't. We're counting on that.
Okay, you can count on that, but it's not going to work for you. Because if I don't see the works of Christ in you, I don't believe you to be a Christian. I don't believe you to be Christ-like. I don't believe that you're a son of God. Whew. Those are pretty strong words, but they're true.
He just said so. Could not the Christian say today, if I do not the works of my Savior, believe me not? See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And if you did the works, creation, works of the Father that sent him, then it's creation. The Christ, the Creator that sends us, does the works of Christ, the Creator. See, as the Father sent me, so send I you. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not, then the Christian today has got to do the life of that Christ did, or we have a right to say, it's not so. It's not about talking doctrine. It's about living doctrine. From Go Away Jesus, if Beethoven lived in you, wouldn't you compose songs? The great composer Beethoven, say Beethoven lives in me, then you do the works of Beethoven. You'll write his music, certainly. If it lived in you, you would certainly do that because the Spirit of him lived in you. Then if Christ lives in me, if Christ lives in me, the works of Christ will be done through me, certainly. If Beethoven lives in you, the works of Beethoven will be made known. See, that's what the sons of God are made known. They're manifest. If Christ lives in you, the works of Christ will be made known. For he is the same, and he changes not. Remember, I said he's eternal. He can't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, then call him on the scene. Are you afraid to? Is men of this day afraid to call Jesus on the scene to say, Lord, you promised it, now do it? Hey, whenever I have a need, I just go to him and I say, Father, you promised it. I know you're not a man that you could lie. Now I'm asking you to manifest. And he does. As I said many, many times, brother and sister, write a book. Get out a book. And every time that you've asked God and he's done, write it down. Too many times you forget. And under the stress and circumstances, you just, oh, poor me. No, not poor you. How about, oh, I'm a son of God. I'm a mighty conqueror. Greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. For be certain of God, he said, if I have the Spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. That's it. It's so simple. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe, and we've perverted it by the works of man and doctrines of men. The Bible says in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, you know, it's all about doctrine. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. And you say them are communists. No, them's Christians, so-called church members. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, saying, oh God, God did that in another age, but not this age. The Bible said, from such turn away. We're living in that day. Pretty strong quotes. Amen. I stand at the hour, he says, if the spirit of anything was in you, it'll make you act like the person. If the spirit of Christ is in you, it'll act like Christ. It'll do the works of Christ. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There you are. From faith once delivered, when Elijah's spirit come upon Elisha, Elisha was just like Elijah. And when that same spirit come on John the Baptist at 9 years old, it drove him into the wilderness. The spirit that was in you controls you. And if the spirit of Christ is in us, the body of Christ will be Christ-like in its feelings and its actions. Whatever it is, it'll be Christ-like. It'll do the works of Christ. God wants to work in the body of Christ as he did in the physical, corporal body of the Lord Jesus. He wants to work in this body of Christ. If he can only get them to the place where they'll stand still long enough, or he can place them on the foundation of his word so that he can work. God cannot work contrary to his word. Again, from We Would See Jesus, he said, if we profess to have the Spirit of Christ, we should do the works of Christ. From We Would See Jesus said, you said, the works that I do shall you do also a little while. The world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, for I, personal pronouns, will be with you to the end of the world. Christ in us. Then, if the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it should be doing the works of Christ. From God's provided way, what is this robe? When you wear the robe of Christ, you should have the Spirit of Christ in you. And the Spirit of Christ will act like Christ. It will do the works of Christ. It will be gentle, long-suffering, goodness, mercy, meekness, patience with the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's the Spirit of God that comes when you're robed with His righteousness. His Spirit lives within you. Again, from Sirs, we would see Jesus. That was Jesus yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same. He has to be the same. He will do the same. He will act the same. And if his church has got his spirit, they'll be like Christ. And if I told you I had the spirit of an outlaw in me like Dillinger, you'd expect me to have big guns and dangers and be around, and his spirit was in me. If I told you that I had the spirit of some famous artist, you'd expect me to be able to catch waves or the sunset or so forth and paint like the artist if his spirit is in me. Oh, and I hope this goes home. If the Christian church has got the spirit of Christ, they'll do the works of Christ. Christ said so. If the spirit is in the Christ, what faith are you to contend for? We're just a Christian. We're just Christians by profession. We might be Christians by full formal profession. We might be Christians by radical, enthusiastic, hysterical faith. But a real Christian, the Spirit of Christ produces the Bible again, for it's His Spirit. From the ministry explains that if we have the Spirit of Christ, then we do the works of Christ. From Return and Jubilee, he said, but in order to be a son of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like and do the works of Christ. From Letting Off the Pressure. Jesus said, St. John 14, I am the vine, you are the branches. And the first branch that come forth out of the vine, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. That's right. And today we have denominations living on the name of Christianity, but only bearing denominational fruit. That's right. But if that vine ever puts forth another branch, you'll write a book of Acts behind it. Because it'll bear the original life. If the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it'll do the works of Christ did. Jesus said so. End time evangelism, and I tell you, and if I tell you I'm a Christian and the Spirit of Christ is in me or in you, if we do the works, then we do the works of Christ. Jesus said, St. John, he said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He said here, these signs shall follow them that believe. From half faith in God, he said, the Spirit of Christ is in me, then it produces the works of Christ, he promised it. From will the church go before the tribulation, he said, now he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now the vine doesn't bear fruit, the branches bear fruit. Now if it's a pumpkin vine, it bears pumpkins. If it's a watermelon vine, it bears watermelons. If it's a cantaloupe vine, it'll bear cantaloupe. If it's a grapevine, it'll bear grapes. If it's a Christian vine, it'll bear Christ. The life of Christ, the works of Christ. See, then our spirits have to be energized by something. So glad to be in him tonight. See, there's got to be dynamics, brother, sister, and it's in you. And that energy or dynamics is the Spirit of Christ, which is the frequency of God, for He is the Spirit and He is the life. And from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, He said, if a Christian church is the vine and the branch that's in Christ, they'll do the works of Christ and bear the life of Christ by the fruits that you'll know them. Now then, the way that He is today, He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost, working through His church, performing the same thing that He did then. That makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. His life, the life that was in Christ, and which was God, produced the kind of life that he lived then. The same life comes into his churches, his church members, since we have been purged by his blood and given the Holy Spirit access to work through them, bears the same fruit that he bore. So therefore the world can see then that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From Hear Ye Him, and if the new life that you think that you've received doesn't pattern with God's Word, you've got the wrong life in you. The life of Christ will produce the works of Christ. It will produce the faith of Christ. It will make you act like Christ, make you love like Him, or love Him. He will be first in your life. Your objectives, your motives, and everything will all be together different. It'll be for the glory of God. From What Shall I Do with Jesus? He said, when the life of Christ is in you, you'll live like Christ, and the works of Christ you'll do. For time's sake, I think it's... Blind Bartimaeus, the Spirit of Christ in the church, it'll do the works of Christ. From door of the heart, if Christ if a sinful vine you're hooked into, it'll bear sin. If it's a church vine, you'll bear Christianity. But if it's Christ, then it'll do the work. It'll bear the works of Christ. Gotcha. I am the vine; you are the branches. See. Jehovah Jireh. Now, that was God's promise that He gives the confirmation to our father Abraham, and us being dead in Christ takes on Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. Then, if we are Abraham's seed, the Holy Spirit lives in us doing the works of Christ. Now, I've read you what Brother Branham and the Scriptures have said about the works of Christ being in you, showing that the Word has been energized in you by God's Spirit living in you. So let me just take the last few minutes this morning to just show you what Brother Bell also said concerning this. All right? From adoption. Number 2, Macon, Georgia, 1972. Now, reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, just one verse at a time, the 15th verse at this time. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the first message on this subject, which was last night, we showed from the prophet's teaching that there would be a word-identified bride who would be able to manifest the very life of Christ at the end time. Quoting Brother Branham, there will be a power come into the church, and now is coming in. The Holy Spirit will so anoint the people, plural, so that they'll plural speak the word, and the word will create itself like that, or identical to what was spoken. Now that's Brother Bell talking about plural. All right. For all those that say, well, he just said he. You see, when God said there would be light, suddenly something didn't said, I think that I'll have a little fun, let there be dark. No, there was light. Now, you know Brother Al's sense of humor. Therefore, the word, which will be in the bride, will be a literal manifestation into creation at that time, at that same word, by the Spirit that lies in the word, there will be literal creation. Now, that's what the prophet said. Do you agree with that? What he said? All right, fine, we believe it. Now, notice the language of the prophet. He said, now, N-O-W, now, at this moment, it is coming into the church. That means only one thing. The potential is already in the bride of this hour, and it, the potential, will produce the manifestation of creation by spoken word. God is going to refill the bride with the Spirit. Then see what happens. Brother Branham said, we've got a ministry coming that just excites exactly the life of Christ. Now, that's what he told us, and that's what we believe. I was preaching one time in Chicago a couple years ago, or three, when Dr. Hoyer, who is, in my estimation, is the greatest authority in the Hebrew and Greek living today, because he can speak it with the exact emphasis, the exact facial expression, and the exact demonstration by the hand. He's a very brilliant scholar. And at the end of the service, he said, Brother Bell, I trust that you will not think me to be a fanatic, but I would like to say something. And he sounded so apologetic. I wondered what in the world he was going to say. He said, please, please, please do not take this bad. He said, I said, well, what is it, Brother Hoyer? He said, Brother Bell, from the study of the Word of God, I believe the bride will have the creative word within her before she goes in the rapture. I said, well, brother, that's exactly what a vindicated prophet said. Thus saith the Lord. Here's a brilliant theologian who knows exactly the hour of the day, and if you heard him, you could meet him and talk with him, and you would know that this is a giant intellect anointed by the Holy Ghost who has studied the Word of God until that's all that he knowed in all he's lived. You mention a scripture, and he will quote you the Hebrew or the Greek, and then he'll raise his eyebrows, his face will change, an expression will come upon his face, and he'll literally begin to preach in that language and tell you everything that it means. And he said, Brother Bell, I know that it is coming. So we see, according to the word of God given by us, a vindicated prophet, that the creative word will be in the very bride at the end time. Now, this great capital ministry of the bride is called the manifestation of the sons of God, or the adoption or placing of sons. And to me, and I emphasize to me, it is also the manifestation of what Brother Branham called the third pole in the bride. Up until 1963, Brother Branham talked much of this that manifestation, but after 62 and 3, he spoke of the poles of the various poles, and he said that there would be a third pole in the bride, which would come into manifestation. Now, we have no details concerning it, but remember, it will be a creative word within the bride. And now, let us just think of the potential or the prime cause of this great manifestation. It's already in the bride, but it's evidently subdued. Now, it's there, but subdued. But letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. All right. In other words, you're not using it, but it's there. So it is that lack of the manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not there because it is not yet the time. Now, this is what you must understand. See, the bride is not without the prime cause or the cause to bring about the effect. It is just that God is not ready to produce the effect. See, see now, it is not time to show it forth. Notice our text, the 15th verse. For you have not received the spirit of adoption, again to fear, but you have already received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry our Father. We already have the spirit of adoption in the first age, second age, third age, fourth age, fifth age, sixth age. Every member of the body of Christ has already, whether they've gone to the dust or not, they have already received the potential, but not the manifestation. Now notice 19 to 23. For the earnest expectation of the creature, of the creation, waiteth for the unveiling of the sons of God. See, God's unveiled, now we unveil. All right? For the creature has made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation shall also itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God, or into the liberty of the glory. Actually, the glorious liberty of the sons of God is what the scripture says. So, the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails
in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which already have the first fruit of the Spirit, which will make us like unto Christ, even to the very members in which we are. It says we are groaning. Even we groan within ourselves, we are waiting for the adoption. Even though you got this very spirit of it, tell you what, haven't I got it all? Don't I possess all, my brother and sister? You and I may possess everything that God is in potential, but into manifestation we do not yet possess it. See, I'm sorry for those who believe and have said, listen, I'll take this whole Bible, and this whole Bible is mine. You are wrong. Only the part of the word, what's in here, is yours, if it is yours for your day. Brother Brown put it so beautifully. He said, Moses could not come preaching Noah's message. You couldn't do it. Christ could not come preaching Moses' message. The law was until John. But see, now we look forward to grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And the word for this day is a revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, that's what he said, Brother Vassar. And the word for this day is a revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Do they teach that? Are they teaching that? Well, he did. Now, if we are not aware of the hour in which we live, then we cannot say that we got the Holy Ghost, because he is given to teach us those things which have been given to us of God. Oh, how blind the church is today that calls itself filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, then Brother Bell diverts a little bit, talks about Billy Graham's statement where he says, you know, that if the Holy Ghost were to leave the earth today, 90% of the activities in the churches would still go on. Then he comes back to, now, we're waiting for the adoption, and this tells us when it will take place. It takes place in resurrection season. Now, what is resurrection season? It takes place over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says here, 15th verse, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but the life from the dead? For if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So, layer by layer, in seven church ages, the church is coming up to the capstone itself until it fits so perfectly in the last age. The seventh is literally identified with Christ himself. Now, as bride accompanied, Paul saw this as many members, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are coming up into the very word itself. Then, brothers and sisters, can't you see that if we are coming up into the very word itself, then creation must lie in the bride. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, now the whole body is coming up. Every single one of the first six church ages had the potential of adoption to the spirit of adoption. But only the seventh church age has a potential plus the manifestation. The church itself did not have the Holy Spirit, which would bring them into manifestation, because the age was not yet. As God was bringing up the word line by line, building up his church all the way to the top, the life was moving on, the church building up. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. This is a mortal church that we're talking about. Then this makes me understand that the manifestation of the sons of God will come before the resurrection. We're not dealing with a church that has gone on, but the church that's coming up. This is the same age that Brother Branham said, the age of adoption is the age of restoration. As Paul said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The word did not apply to the first six ages, but to the seventh only. And not to all in the seventh, but only to those at the end of the age. In other words, the manifestation of the sons of God. The last day's true church will be a super church, a super, he's reading from Brother Branham, a super race. They will be so much like him that they will be in his very image. They will be the very manifestation of the living God. Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, this is from Spoken Word's original seed, God will present a Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word, and through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin, who knows no man made creator God. The word of promise in him, in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise so to fulfill all that has been written of him. As he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now, accepting his word. Be it unto me as thou hast said. All right. When you read that we will be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, do you say, be it unto me as thou hast said, according to thy word? Do that. All right. You have not because you ask not. Be it unto me, as I was said. Though it was said by an angel, while it was yet in written word, Isaiah 96, they will love his, and will have his potentials, but for he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to his head, headship of Christ was his.
Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride. Now the bride wasn't just one man going around. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death, for it is a seed be planted. The water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They'll do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they'll keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not yet the time. Now, how many can swallow that one? That's Brother Vale, of course. And not choke on it. Now, let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Now, watch close. This is going to have a spiritual background. Now, let's stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's nearing the time of the given to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means Savior and represents the promised time leader to lead the people over. Caleb represents the true believer who stayed with Joshua. God started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Notice how God did not move Israel until his own appointed time. Now listen, this is going to mean something. That's Brother Bell in parentheses. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people might have said, God gave us the land, the promise, let us go and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission, you're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to know, thus saith the Lord, in a moment, and what was the will of God. But this wise God sent prophet knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise, a clear-cut decision from God for his time. These parables now watch. And when the time come, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he would not trust others. He could not trust him, so will it repeat. Our brothers and sisters, that was Brother Bell echoing what a vindicated prophet taught. And we've been teaching this for the past 11 years, and we've been mocked, we've been ridiculed, we've been spoken evil of. But what say you? As far as the prayer. Gracious Father, we're looking for that time, we're believing it, O Lord. And Father, we believe that we have already been anointed with your Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of adoption. Father, we know that it is ordained for those at the very end to manifest as sons of God. We know that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. So, Father, all I say this morning is, be it unto me, and be it unto this, your children, according to thy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto thee against that day.